Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Zecher Shkalim Daf Yud Ches, the sixth parak, Shoshasar Shofaros. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Braisa, Eser Menoris Asa Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech made 10 menorahs for the base of Migdash, 5 to the right of Moshe's menorah and 5 to its left. Afo Piken Wa Yamavi El Shel Moshe Bovet. Nevertheless, the Kohen only light Moshe's menorah, as it stated in the Pasuk, Menoris HaZahav V'Neroseh L'Vayir Be'erev Be'erev. A golden menorah and its lamps to kindle each evening. The singular form indicates that they kindled only one menorah. Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yudah, says, Al kulin hayamavir. They would light them all, as it says in the Pasuk, that the menorahs v'nerosehem l'va'aram k'mishpat l'ifnei adver zahav sagur, and the menorahs and their lamps to kindle them as required before the partition, closed gold. The plural form indicates that they kindled all of the menorahs. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Shoshasar Shofaros Haibah Mikdash. There were 13 collection chests in the base of Mikdash, and one of them was titled Eitzim for the donations of wood to be brought on his Beach. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak said, L'fishlo yamakam hamarache ala amma al amma. Since the site of the pyre on the Mizbech built by Moshe was only an amma by an amma, L'fika ko hiabo ala amma geduma. Therefore, the blocks of wood were only the length of a truncated amma. The Karban Eid explains that if the blocks were a full amma, they would protrude slightly into the adjacent area on top of the Mizbeach, which was designated as the Kohanim's walkway. Since the Torah stated the wood which is on the fire, which is on the Mizbeach, and the phrase which is on the Mizbeach is superfluous, we derive that the wood should not protrude from the pyre section of the Mizbeach. Since the top of the Mizbeach was 5 amos square and 4 amos across were taken by the kronos, the horns, and the walkway on either side, which were 1 amma each, that left only 1 amma in the middle of the pyre. And point number three, the Mishnah stated that if someone said, Hare alai lavona, it's hereby incumbent on me to bring lavona, or yipchos makomets, he may not bring less than a komets. The Gemara brings the source for this ruling, Nemar kan askara. It's stated here about the lavona that is offered on the Mizbech as part of the Lechem Panim service, memorial portion, the Nemar lahalan askara, and it's stated there regarding the mincha that's offered on the Mizbech memorial portion. So just as the memorial portion with regard to the flower of a mincha is a full komets, so too the memorial portion mentioned here with regard to the Lavona offered with Lechem HaPanim should be a full komets. And from here we derive that the standard amount of Lavona offered with a mincha is a komets, and if Lavona is offered by itself as an independent offering, without the person specifying an amount, he must bring at least a komets. The Gemara brings Malchokas whether the komets must be the amount of the komets of the largest kohen serving that day or that of the owner. So once again, the three points are, number one, it was taught in a braisa, Eser menorahs asa Shlomo, Shlomo HaMelech made 10 menorahs for the base of Migdash, 5 to the right of Moshe's menorah, and 5 to its left. Afo piken lo yamavri el shel Moshe bovet. Nevertheless, the Kohen only light Moshe's menorah, as it stated in the Pasuk, menorahs azahav v'neroseha levayir be'er be'erv, a golden menorah and its lamps to kindle each evening. The singular form indicates that they kindled only one menorah. Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yudah, says, Al kulin hayamavir. They would light them all, as it says in the Pasuk, and the menorahs and their lamps to kindle them as required before the partition, closed gold. The plural form indicates that they kindled all of the menorahs. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Shoshasar Shofaros Haibim Migdash. There were 13 collection chests in the base of Migdash, and one of them was titled Eitzim for the donations of wood to be brought in Mizbeach. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak said, L'fishu yamakam hamarache ela ama al ama. Since the site of the pyre on the Mizbeach built by Moshe was only an amma by an amma, lafika koheha bo ela amma geduma. Therefore, the blocks of wood were only the length of a truncated amma. The Karban Eid explains that if the blocks were a full amma, they would protrude slightly into the adjacent area on top of the Mizbeach, which was designated as the Kohanim's walkway. So since the Torah stated the wood which is on the fire, which is on the Mizbeach, and the phrase which is on the Mizbeach is superfluous, we derive that the wood should not protrude from the pyre section of the Mizbeach. Since the top of the Mizbech was 5 amos square, and 4 amos across were taken by the kronos, the horns, and the walkway, on either side which were 1 amma each, that left only 1 amma in the middle for the pyre. And point number 3, the Mishnah state that if someone said, Hare alai lavona, it's hereby incumbent on me to bring lavona, or yipchos makomets, he may not bring less than a komets. The Gemara brings the source of this ruling, Nemar kan askara, it's stated here, about the lavona that's offered on the Mizbech as part of the Lechem HaPanim service, memorial portion, v'nemar lahalan askara, and it's stated there regarding the mincha that's offered on the Mizbeach, memorial portion. So just as the memorial portion with regard to the flower of a mincha is a full komets, so to the memorial portion mentioned here with regard to the lavona offered with the Lechem HaPanim should be a full kometz. And from here we derive that the standard amount of a lavona offered with a mincha is a kometz, and if lavona is offered by itself as an independent offering without the person specifying an amount, he must bring at least a kometz. The Gemara brings a machlokas whether the kometz must be the amount of the kometz of the largest kohen serving that day, or that of the owner. All right, so now we go to our siman for Daf Yud Ches, and our standard siman is a chuppah, because ben Yud Ches chuppah, someone who's 18 should go to chuppah, and a ches sort of looks like a chuppah, so Yud Ches is a chuppah. So here goes. The 10 menorahs lined up in front of the chuppah each had a block of wood the size of a truncated amma on top that were burning donated lavona the size of a kometz. Once again, in slow motion. The 10 menorahs lined up in front of the chuppah, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Ches. The 10 menorahs lined up in front of the chuppah, which reminds us, it was taught in Braisa, Esa menorahs, Asa Shlomo, Shlomo Melch made 10 menorahs for the base of Mikdash, 5 to the right of Moshe's menorah, and 5 to its left, and it's a machlokas based on Psukim, whether they were all lit, or only Moshe Rabbeinu's was lit. So the 10 menorahs lined up in front of the chuppah, each had a block of wood the size of a truncated amma on top, which reminds the next Mishnah states, Shoshasar Shofar's Hayib Mikdash, there were 13 collection chests in the base of Mikdash, and one of them was titled Eitzim for the donations of wood to be brought on the Mizbech. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said that since the site of the pyre on the Mizbech built by Moshe was only an amma by an amma, therefore the blocks of wood were only the length of a truncated amma. The Karbana Eda explains that if the blocks were a full amma, they would protrude slightly into the adjacent area on top of the Mizbech, which was designated as the Kohanim's walkway. So the 10 menorahs lined up in front of the chuppah each had a block of wood the size of a truncated amma on top, and we're burning donated lavona the size of a kometz, which reminds us. The Mishnah say that if someone said, Hare alai lavona, if it's hereby incumbent on me to bring lavona, he may not bring less than a kometz. The Gemara brings a source for this ruling, Nemar Kan Azkara, and stated here about the lavona that is offered on the Mizbech as part of the Lechem Apanim service memorial portion, and Nemar Lahalan Azkara. And it stated there regarding the mincha that's offered on the Mizbech memorial portion. So just as the Azkara with regard to the flower of a mincha is a full kometz, so to the Azkara mentioned here with regard to the Lavona offered with the Lechem Apanim should be a full kometz. And from here we derive that the standard amount of a Lavona offered with a Mincha is a kometz, and if Lavona is offered by itself as an independent offering without the person specifying an amount, he must bring at least a kometz. So once again, the 10 menorahs lined up in front of the chuppah each had a block of wood the size of a truncated amma on top, and were burning donated Lavona the size of a kometz. All right, now it's time to go to our four blah blah chazorah, which will cover Daf Yud Beis, Tezvav, Tezayin, and Yud Zayin. Daf Yud Beis, so the siman is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers who are makdish, their possessions, including their male and female animals, without a specific intent, which reminds us of the machlokas in the next mission, a case when someone is makdish his possessions without specifying whether they're for the Mizbeach or for the Bet HaKabayis, and among them were animals suitable for the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yezer holds Stam Hektish for Bet HaKabayis, that when someone is makdish without stating his intention, the consecration is assumed to be for temple upkeep. Therefore, the male should be sold for the needs of all offerings, and the female should be sold for the needs of Shlamim, and their proceeds should go together with the rest of possessions for the upkeep of the base of Mikdash. Rabbi Yeshua says the males themselves should be offered as olos, and the female should be sold for the needs of Shlamim offerings, and with their proceeds, one should bring olos, and the rest of the possessions should fall to Bet HaKabayis. The Tikkun Chatan explains Rabbi Yeshua holds that stam hekdesh of an animal fit for the Mizbech is assumed to be for the Mizbech. Therefore, the animals are male, they should be brought as olos. He also holds that the person's intent was to offer them in their entirety as olos. Therefore, female animals, which cannot be brought as olos, are sold, and the proceeds are used to purchase olos. So the 12 brothers who were makdish in possessions, including their male and female animals, without a specific intent, were disheartened when they saw the animals sold to others as offerings, with the proceeds going to Bet HaKabayis, which reminds them, Rabbi Yochanan said that the basis for Rabbi Eliezer's ruling, that even animals consecrated without specification have their proceeds go for Bet HaKabayis, comes from the Parsha of Redemptions. The Pasuk says, V'ishki yakdish es beiso kodesh l'shem. And if a man consecrates his house to be holy to Hashem, the Kohen shall evaluate it. Beiso, his house, cannot be referring to a dwelling place because the dwelling place is written in the next pasuk. The makdish yigal is beiso, if the consecrator will redeem his house. Rather, we're dealing in the pasuk with the one who is makdish's property, meaning his possessions. And the pasuk then states, Kodesh l'Hashem, holy to Hashem. Mikan shestam hekdesh l'shem Bet HaKabayis. From here we derive that unspecified consecrations are for the upkeep of the temple. So the 12 brothers who were makdish in possessions, including their male and female animals, without a specific intent, were disheartened when they saw the animals sold to others as offerings, with the proceeds going to Bet HaKabayis, when they thought they were endowed with the kedusha of olos. Which reminds us, the source for Rabbi Yeshua, who rules that non-specific consecration of animals fit for a mizbech, endows them with the Kedusha of Olos is from the Pasuk states, speak to Aaron and sons and to all Bnei Israel and say to them, any man of the house of Israel who will bring his offering to Hashem as an Ola. This teaches HaKol Karav Ola, all animals, which are a type that can be offered upon the Mizbeach, are brought as Olos, unless otherwise specified. The next Pasuk states, to be favorable to you, it must be an unblemished male. Now one might think that this applies only to males. The Pasuk therefore states, but Bakar from the cattle, in order to include females. The Tikkun Chatan explains that both male and female animals are called cattle. So once again, the 12 brothers who were makdish their possessions, including their male and female animals, without a specific intent, were disheartened when they saw the animals sold to others as offerings, with the proceeds going to Bedek HaBayis, when they thought they were endowed with the Kedusha of Olos. Dav Tesvav, so the symbol for Dav Tesvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The unassuming fruit bowl, that must be on Dav Tesvav, Tu B'Shvat. The unassuming fruit bowl where people would give and take tzedakah discreetly, which reminds the next mission discusses the Lishkas Choshayin, the chamber of the discreet, where sin-fearing people would deposit donations into it discreetly and aniyim from aristocratic families would sustain themselves from it discreetly. And the Gemara illustrates the importance of tzedakah performed discreetly. Rabbi Yonah said the Pasuk in Tehillim does not write Ashrei Nosin L'dal, praise be he who gives to the needy. Rather, it's written Ashrei Maskil L'dal, praise be he who contemplates the needy. This refers to one who looks at a mitzvah to see how to best perform it so that it should not be demeaning to the poor person. When Rabbi Yonah would see a poor person from an aristocratic family who lost his estate, he would say to him, my son, since I heard that you have a Yerusha coming to you and you'll soon be out of your financial difficulties, take this money now and you'll repay me when you receive your Yerusha. After the Ani took the money, he would then tell him he's giving it to him as a gift. And the Tikkun Chatan explains that when Rabbi Yonah told the Ani that he will repay, he meant that one day the Ani will repay the favor by helping out another Ani, and that Ani might be Rabbi Yonah's descendant, since poverty is a cyclical phenomena. So the unassuming fruit bowl, where people would give and take tzedakah discreetly, was always next to the bed of the tzaddik, who suffered afflictions for being slow to give, which reminds the Gemara brings the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu, who didn't give immediately to an Ani who had boils. Upon his return, he found the man dead, and facing the corpse, he said, may my eyes that did not prompt me to help you go blind, may my hands that did not stretch out to give you be cut off, and may my legs that did not run to give you be broken. After all these calamities happened to him, Rabbi Kiva visited him and expressed his dismay in seeing him in such a state. Nachum replied, woe is me if I don't see you one day in such a state. Rabbi Kiva asked him why he was cursing him. Nachum responded, ma'at mevayd b'yusurin, why are you spurning afflictions? Afflictions are precious, and they atone for one's sins. So the unassuming fruit bowl, where people would give and take tzedakah discreetly, was always next to the bed of the tzaddik, who suffered afflictions for being slow to give, and where a holy chest was buried deep beneath them. Which reminds, the opening mission of the sixth parak mentions a tradition that the arn was hidden under the dira etzim, the wood chamber where wood is kept to be burned on the mizbech. The Tikkun Chatan explains that Yoshiel Melch hid it towards the end of Bais Rishon. The Gemara brings a brice that teaches the name of Elezer that the arn went into exile with them to Bavel. Rav Yehuda ben Lakish said the arn was hidden in its place, referring to a secret underground chamber that Shlomo Melch had built under the Kodesh Kodashim. So once again, the unassuming fruit bowl where people would give and take tzedakah discreetly was always next to the bed of the tzaddik who suffered afflictions for being slow to give, and where a holy chest was buried deep beneath them. Daf Tezayin, so the simmer Daf Tezayin is toes. So here goes. The crowds were standing on their tippy-toes. Tippy-toes, that must mean we're on Daf Tezayin. The crowds were standing on their tippy-toes trying to capture a glimpse of the king being anointed from a horn of oil by a spring. Which reminds, the Gemara brings several halachas pertaining to the anointing of kings. We anoint kings only by a spring, which symbolizes rain will endure, since the spring issues from underground in an endless flow. We do not anoint a king who is the son of a king, except on account of a dispute, such as in the case of Shlomo Melch, because of his dispute with Adoniyahu. We anoint kings only from a horn of oil. A horn is durable and represents an enduring reign. And we do not anoint kings who are kohanim, as it says in the Pasuk, well, yasur shevim Yehuda, the scepter shall not depart from Yehuda. So the crowds were standing on their tippy-toes, trying to capture a glimpse of the king, being anointed from a horn of oil by a spring, who was holding two tablets with 40 commandments written on each one. Which reminds, the Gemara asks, how were the luchos written? And brings four opinions. Either there were 5 dibros on each tablet, or there were 10 on each tablet, or 20 on each tablet, with 10 on each side, or 40 on each tablet, which one or more says means 20 on each side, and another says 10 on all 4 sides. So the crowds were standing on their tippy-toes trying to capture a glimpse of the king being anointed from a horn of oil by a spring, who was holding 2 tablets with 40 commandments written on each one that were ablaze in fire. Which reminds, Rabbi Pinchas said in the name of Mishmar Lakish, HaTorah shenasnul HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe, nasnul eish levana charusa be'eish shachor. It was given to him as white fire inscribed on black fire. He eish muvlevas be'eish chatsuv me'eish Menasuna me'esh. It, referring to the Torah, is fire, mixed with fire, hewn from fire, and given from fire. And this is what it's written, Miminu eish das lamo. From his right hand, he presented the fire of the Torah to them. Daf Yud Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Yud Zayin is a used car. So here goes. The used car salesman. Used car salesman. That must mean we're on Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman who saw a lot of used cars get carried away in a raging stream that emanated from a temple's inner sanctum, which reminds us that the next mission identified one of the 13 temple gates where people would prostrate themselves as the Shar HaMayim, the water gate. The Tanakhama says it was called the Shar HaMayim because through it they would bring the flask of Nisach HaMayim during Sukkos. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Bo HaMayim Mefachim, through it the waters trickle, Vasinu Yos Yotzim Mitachas Mifsan HaBayis, and are destined to issue forth from beneath the threshold of the house, referring to the Kodesh Kodashim. The Gemara brings a description from Savior Cheskel where the Navi shown a vision of the stream getting deeper and deeper until it becomes a raging river that the Navi cannot cross and not even a large ship could cross. The Malbim suggests the water symbolizes the flow of Torah knowledge and faith that is destined to flow from the base of Migdash in the future. So the used car salesman who saw his lot of used cars get carried away in a raging stream that emanated from a temple's inner sanctum threw their keys away in despair, which reminds us when Yehoyachin Melch Yehuda heard that Nebuchadnezzar had summoned him, he took the keys to the base of Migdash and went up to the roof of the Heichal and said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, in the past we were faithful to you and your keys were given over to us. Now that we're not faithful, your keys are hereby returned to you. According to one Amora, Zarkin Va'od Lo Yardu, he threw them up to Shemaim and they have not come down. Whereas according to another Amora, the likeness of a hand emerged from Shemaim, which took the keys from his hand. When all the noblemen of Yehuda saw this, they went up to the rooftops, jumped off, and died. So the used car salesman, who saw a lot of used cars get carried away in a raging stream that emanated from a temple's inner sanctum, threw their keys away in despair, and they landed on top of marble and gold tables full of warm bread. Which reminds us, the next mission teaches that among the 13 shulchanos in the base of Midrash, there was a marble shulchan, where they placed the lechem upon him when it was brought in, and a gold shulchan for the breads that were taken out, shemalim b'kodesh v'lo moridin, for we ascend in matters kedusha and we do not descend. There was also the golden shulchan in the heichal upon which the lechem upon him would lay continually. The Gemara brings a brisa that the first shulchan was made of silver, not marble, but it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that our Mishnah holds that it was not a shulchan of silver, because silver heats up that which is placed on it and causes the bread to spoil. Even though one of the ten nisim in the base of Midrash was that the bread never spoiled, Rabbi Shubin Levi says, Ein maskirin maisa nisim. No proof may be cited for miracles, meaning that we may not rely upon a nes. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz, and this quiz will feature 15 questions. Question number one. Which daf do we have two different opinions regarding the source for Moshe Rabbeinu's wealth? That's on daf Yadalad. Good. Number two. Which daf do we learn that Yehoyachin threw the keys to the base of Mikdash up to Shemaim since Bnei Yisrael were no longer faithful to Kodesh Baruch Hu? That's on daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number three. Which daf do we learn that when someone donates an unspecified amount of Lavona, the minimum share is a kometz? That's on daf Yud Ches. Good. Number four. Which daf do we learn three different opinions for the Aron's location? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number five. Which daf do we have from Alkokas? Whether the 10 menorahs that Shlomo HaMelech made that were next to Moshe Rabbeinu's were lit or not? That's on daf Yud Ches. Good. Number six. Which daf do we have from Alkokas regarding how many Dibros were written on each of the Luchos? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number seven. Which of the one that when people donated Eitzim to the base of Migdash, the wood was an Amah Gedum in length so that it shouldn't protrude onto the walkway area of the Mizbeach? That's on Daf Yud Ches. Good. Number eight. Which of the one the reason why Beis Garmu did not want to share their craft for making the Lechem upon him was so that it shouldn't be used for Avodah Zorah? That's on Daf Yadalad. Good. Number nine. Which stuff do you learn the halachas for anointing a king, such as anointing by a spring and using a horn of oil? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you learn that Yechezkel had a vision of a stream trickling from the base of Migdash growing into a raging stream in the future? That's on daf Yudzayin. Good. Number 11. Which stuff do you learn that the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as white fire written upon black fire? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 12. Which daf Malkos is whether there are four or five chosamos, tokens for the Nesachim? That's on daf Yadalad. Good. Number 13. Which daf the source for Eliezer that Stam Hekdeshos Rebetic Abayis comes from the Parsha of Redemptions? That's on daf Yud Beis. Good. Number 14. which stuff you learn according to one man, Amar Rabbi Akiva was the one responsible for the Mishnah's Midrashos, Halachos, and Agados, that's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 15. Which of the one Rabbi Yonah teaches the importance of being discreet and giving tzedakah from the pasuk v'ashrei maskil el dal? That's on Daf Tezvav. Excellent. That concludes the Pop Quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.